that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We read God's word that far. Yeah, I read that 14th verse incorrectly. I somehow repeated a couple phrases there. It's especially those last two verses, though. Very stirring words having to do with the keeping of the Sabbath day. And it's in that connection that we look at this morning, Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, can it be said of Trinity Protestant Reformed Church that we remember the Sabbath day and keep that day holy? Can it be said of us as a congregation that we truly take delight in and long for each and every week the Sabbath day? If somebody were to come up to you on Tuesday morning and say, "What are you looking forward to most in the next 7 days of your life?" How would you respond? Would you say, what I'm looking forward to most is being done with working for the week and Friday night and my day off on Saturday? Or would you say, in the next 7 days, what I'm looking forward to most is the Lord's Day? Are we a people that spend our Sabbath days in the shadow of Friday and Saturday behind us, lamenting the fact that, oh, here we go again. Another weekend is over. And do we spend our Sabbath days in the shadow of Monday and Tuesday in front of us, looking up against the fact that here we go again. We've got to go to work for another week. Beloved, all of these questions are simply a variation of the main question, which is, what is our attitude? And where is our heart with respect to this one day out of seven that God has given us, this Sabbath day? And really, a question about where our heart is with respect to the Sabbath day is a question about where our heart is with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ and with respect to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. How we view this day that God has given us says something about how important what God has done for Jesus Christ and us really is. Let's be a people that truly take delight in the greatness of God's work for us. Let's be a people that long for each and every week coming into God's house to worship His name. Let's be a people that remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sermon this morning, for all of us, myself included, is a sermon that causes us to reflect seriously about where our hearts are and how we have been using this day that God has given us. Always, when we talk about the Sabbath day, it's cause for self-examination. Knowing this, knowing that there is always forgiveness for our shortcomings in the past, and there's always looking forward into the future, a renewed zeal that we can have as a congregation to do exactly what God says in this commandment, to remember and keep holy the Sabbath day. May God use then this sermon to that end for us as a congregation, for us as families, and for us as individuals. With this fourth commandment of God's law, we come to a close of the first table of God's law. The first four commandments make up the first table of that law. And the first table, as we know, has everything to do with our relationship to God. And not simply our relationship to God, but specifically has to do with our worship of God's name. The first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," teaches us that we are to worship the one, only, true, and living God of the Scriptures. The second commandment says, "Thou shalt not make any images of God." And that means that the way in which we worship God is not by images, but by His Word and the lively preaching of His Word. The third commandment was all about God's name, not taking it in vain. And positively, we learn that that means that we are to confess His name, to use His name rightly. And that's exactly the way in which we worship God. Worship of God and the preaching of the gospel, very simply, is the setting forth of the name of God. Understanding that in God's name is everything God is, everything God has done. So those first three commandments teach us about worshiping God. And now we come to this last commandment of the first table of God's law, which answers the question of when. When, in a special way, do we engage in the worship of this one true living God? And the answer to that is the Sabbath day. We are called as the people of God to remember the Sabbath day. Let's look at that using for our 2 points this morning, the principle and then the practice. The principle and the practice. Lord's Day 38 on the fourth commandment teaches us concerning the Sabbath day. And it's that word Sabbath that really receives the attention of the first point of the sermon this morning. It's that word Sabbath that really gets at the main idea of what this day is all about. And really, we'll see from that how it has a more broad application than just this one day out of seven. The word Sabbath day is found in both of the commandments as they are recorded in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. And that word Sabbath is found all throughout the Scriptures. It's found in the passage that we read this morning from Isaiah 58. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath." The word Sabbath literally means rest. When we hear that word Sabbath, we need to think of rest. That's why in all of the Psalter numbers that we have been singing this morning, and the one that we will sing later, speaks of our rest in God. And that's what Sabbath is all about. The Catechism understands that, because it says in the second line, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest. But that only gets us halfway. Sabbath means rest. But then the next question that we have to ask and answer is, what is rest all about? And it's in this respect that our present day usage of the word rest can somewhat put us down the wrong path as it relates to the biblical idea of rest. When we use the word rest, typically what we mean by that is not working or inactivity. You say after a 12-hour long work day, I need to rest. And typically what you mean by that is I need to do nothing. I need to get away from everything. I need to have a period of inactivity. That idea associated with rest must be put out of our minds. At least it must not be the first and foremost thing that comes to our minds when we think of the biblical idea of rest. When we read that the Sabbath is the day of rest, it emphatically does not mean that it's all about inactivity, not doing anything. And the reason that we can say that is from what we find in the commandment as it's recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and what it says about God resting. The idea of rest is not inactivity, but the idea of rest is enjoyment and delight in a perfected and completed work. Let me say that again so that we have that before us this morning. Rest is the enjoyment and delight in a perfected, completed work. We can say that, especially based on what we have in the commandment as it's found in Exodus 20. Exodus 20 connects very closely our observance of the Sabbath day with the first week of history, God's work of creating all things. We know that, obviously. The first commandment says, or the fourth commandment says in Exodus 20, 6 days thou shalt labor, do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. No work. And this is why. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God, as we know, rested on the seventh day after His 6 days of creating and forming all things. Now, what did God do on that seventh day, that Sabbath day? Because what God did on that day is a pattern for what we are called to do and what the rest for us is all about. It was not the case, and it could not be the case, that God simply did nothing. That's impossible. And that's why we have to get out of our minds the idea of inactivity associated with rest. God can never be altogether inactive. That can't be the point with respect to God and what He did on the seventh day. We know that, for example, from what Jesus says concerning God the Father in John chapter 5. He says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And the grammar of that verse makes it very clear that the work of God is an ongoing activity. God is always doing something. He's always active. He has to be as God. So what was His activity on that seventh day? The activity of God resting on that seventh day was taking joy and taking delight in what He did the previous 6 days, the completed work of His creation. We know from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God looked at His creative work, His perfected creation, and He said, it's good. And He rested that seventh day. He took joy, He took delight in what He had done in creating all things. And we take that idea and apply it to us this morning. Then we see what this Sabbath is all about. And to do that, we can look at the other record of the fourth commandment, which we read this morning when we read the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, the commandment is not given in connection with God's creative work, but it's given in connection with God's work of delivering Israel out of Egypt. And by pointing to that, embedding that idea right in the fourth commandment in Deuteronomy 5, we see what our rest is all about, what we take joy and delight in. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5 makes this clear. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Beloved, Sabbath for us is all about taking joy, taking delight in the perfected work of God in saving us from all of our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Egypt, bondage, slavery, deliverance points us to. When Israel was in Egypt, they had no peace, they had no rest. They had no joy, they had no delight. They couldn't, because they were under the hard oppression of the Egyptians, persecuted, afflicted, and all of the rest. And all of that, we know, simply points to the reality of what life is for us apart from God in Jesus Christ, which is altogether unrest. It's the bondage, it's the slavery of sin, it's the guilt of sin, it's the shame of sin, it's the power of sin, it's the consequences of sin. It's knowing who we are on account of our sin. All of that makes it impossible for us to take joy, to take delight in anything, and especially in God. But God delivered Israel, and God delivers us. And He takes away all of that sin. And He breaks the power of sin in us. And He changes the consequences for us and the result for us, which is not eternity in hell, but life in heaven. It's Jesus Christ saying to us this morning, as He does in Matthew 11, come unto Me, all ye people, and I will give you what? Rest. He wasn't saying, come unto Me, and I'll fix the bed so that you can lay down and peacefully rest. It was a spiritual rest. I've taken away your yoke, the yoke of sin and death. You have rest in Me. Beloved, the Sabbath is all about us as a people enjoying, praising God for, and being thankful for the perfected work that God has done in us through Jesus Christ. And that's why the Catechism makes very clear that the Sabbath has a more broad-ranging application than just this one day. It's not one day out of 7 days, but every day. And it's not just time and history here on this earth, but it's eternity. Look at what the Catechism says. The second point that it makes, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me. Every day of my life, the Catechism says. And the Catechism is very much correct in taking the fourth commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day, and saying, as Christians, that has application to every day of my life. But then you can ask the question, what does what the Catechism says have to do with everything that we've said this morning, taking joy and delight in the perfected work in Jesus Christ. It says, cease from my evil works, yield myself to the Lord, so that He may give us His Spirit. Well, beloved, that has everything to do with it. Because what the Catechism does is show us the exact way in which we experience and in which we take delight in the work of God through Christ for us. Joy and delight, Sabbath rest, is not no more sin. You can't say this morning that the only way that you're going to take joy and delight in God is when I have no more sin. That's impossible because of the old man that will always cleave unto us until the day that we die. We take joy and delight in God by doing exactly what this catechism says, by ceasing from, that is, fighting against the ways of sin, and by longing for the Holy Spirit to come to me through the work of the Lord. That's the evidence of God's work in us. That's the evidence that God has done what was pictured in Egypt and the deliverance from Egypt. It's the evidence that God has taken us and in the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. The fact that we fight against those evil works and we cling to the Lord and seek His Spirit every single day. Because right there, you know that God is in you and that God is working. And you have a foretaste and you see and experience the fact that God has saved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask yourself the question, do I as a Christian on a daily basis find joy and delight in the perfected work of God through Christ for me? And you can answer yes to that question when at the end of the day you ceased from evil works, you fought against those evil works, and you went to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. And all of that is the evidence of God's work in us, and all of that ceasing from the evil works just points us ahead to the day when there will no more be evil works. And that's the eternal Sabbath. And that's what the Catechism does too. It says it's not just every day here on this earth, but it says that all of that is but a beginning of the eternal Sabbath in heaven. The Scriptures speak of our eternal life in so many different ways. And what better way to speak of what we have coming for us in heaven than this way? It's Sabbath. Notice that. It says at the end, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. What will heaven be but that? Heaven will be in the face of Jesus Christ, enjoying everything God has done for us. Enjoying the fact that we are brought into the covenant of God, life in communion with God Himself. Enjoying that without that old man that clings to us. So that what we read right before that in the Catechism doesn't apply anymore. It's not ceasing from those evil works to enjoy that. The evil works are gone. The sin is gone. We enjoy the perfected work of God in Christ for us. That's glory. Eternal glory. But all of this, in light of the fact that God does say in the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. And now we move into the second point of the sermon and see not just the principle and how that applies in a broad way for us, but we move into the second point and see how we are to practice, especially observing the Sabbath day as it relates to that one day in particular. So if you want to see how the sermon is structured this morning, we're going broad to narrow. We see the broad principle, we see the broad application, every day, eternity, and now we zero in on the fact that the fourth commandment does say something special about one day out of seven. We're not going to take the time this morning to delve into the whole matter of the seventh day versus the first day. Everything we've said this morning has come from the Old Testament and is rooted in God's work of creating the very first week. It was on the seventh day that He rested. Obviously, here we sit this morning on the first day of the week. And we do that understanding that the fourth commandment still applies to us as a church today. Probably the next time we go through this commandment, we'll get into that a little bit and see why the change of days and see why everything we read in the fourth commandment still applies to us as a church today, because there are some that say it doesn't. That the fourth commandment really is obsolete for the New Testament church. Yeah, there may be one day in particular, but it's not necessarily the first day of the week. It's not necessarily Sunday, the Lord's Day. No, it is. And the Reformed perspective has always been that the fulfillment of the Old Testament Sabbath is the New Testament Lord's Day. And that's why the Catechism, obviously speaking about Sunday and the Lord's Day, says, especially on the Sabbath, it uses the exact same language of the fourth commandment. And by doing that, it draws them together. The fourth commandment finds its fulfillment in what we are doing today on the Lord's Day. We're not going to get into that this morning, but we do see this morning that God did say to us, one day out of seven, that's a special day. That's one day that you must set aside and take delight in the Lord in a unique way from the previous 6 days. It's very important for us to understand how needed the Sabbath day is for us. It's hard to imagine our lives without Sunday. There's nothing in our lives that are more regular than Sunday and what we do on the Sabbath day. Everything else in our lives comes and goes. You know, work, jobs may change, school, you go to school 9 months out of the year, 3 months of break. Everything in our lives come and go and change. But this one thing doesn't change. Rooted in the very creation of the heavens and earth. That's the other significance of it being rooted in God's work of creation. This is an ordinance of God from the very beginning. And it's hard to imagine what life would be without Sunday. Is there anything more regular than the observance of the Sabbath day? There isn't. And all that does to us is drive home to us the absolute need that we have of the Sabbath day. Our lives are so busy, and there are so many things that need to be done. This many hours need to be done at work for fathers and husbands, and school with children, and so many activities in the home. Our lives are absolutely filled with things to do. Probably every one of us could say, if I only had one or two more days in the week to get everything done. In light of that, we have this day, graciously given to us by God, in which God says to us, just one day, it's different. Set it aside. It's holy. That's the basic idea of holiness. Set aside. Set apart from everything else. We said that in connection with the second commandment, the third commandment, taking God's name in vain. Why can't we do that? Why can't we bring God down? Because He's holy. He's set apart. He's different from anyone and everything else. Well, the Sabbath day is that holy day. It's set apart from all of the other 6 days. And oh, how we need that day. We need God saying to us, my people, spend this day differently. Spend this day in a special way enjoying what I have done for you and taking delight in worshiping me for saving you in the Lord Jesus Christ. God could have said every day. That's the greatness of what God has done for us. He could have said every day should be a Sabbath day. And we've seen already how it has application to us every single day. Even an eternity is what we will have. It's worthy of every day. But God said to us, just one day. Out of the seven, work 6 days, one day set aside for me in a unique way. And in light of the nature of our lives, oh, how we need this day. We need this day, and we need to be active in this day. I can't drive that home strong enough this morning, and that's why I come back to it again in the second point of the sermon. I led off with that this morning, talking about a wrong view of rest that we can have that can corrupt our idea of observing the Sabbath day. Sabbath is not about not doing anything. It's about working, but it's about doing the correct work, the works of God. It's about being very, very active on the Lord's day. That's not to say that there is not a physical aspect of the rest of the seventh day. There is. Especially for those who work with their bodies. You work 50, 60, 70 hours physically. There's a certain rest that comes on the Sabbath day that allows you to be rejuvenated to go do it again for another week. There is a physical aspect to the rest of the seventh day, but that is by no means the main idea of the seventh day. We must be active, very, very active on the Lord's day. And that, of course, brings up the whole matter of sleeping on Sunday. And we need to think about that very carefully. Why are we taking naps on Sunday afternoon? Is it for the purpose of enjoyment? Is it for the purpose of, this is what I want to do because it feels good and because it's very simply what I want to do? Or is that always driving towards the main purpose of the Sabbath day, which is activity, which is taking delight in the Lord's day? Something we always need to think about and make sure we're doing it for the right reasons. And that leads to the main principle here with respect to this second point of how we observe the Lord's day. And beloved, this is something where we must not be legalistic. This is something where we must not be judgmental. And this is something where each one of us only needs to look at ourselves. And as a head of the home, you look at your own family. What's going on in my home on this day that God has given us as the Sabbath day? Because as we know, it's very easy to be legalistic. It's very easy to be judgmental. It's very easy to compare. To very simply say, well, I know what they do on Sunday, and therefore it's okay for us to do that. That is so far away from the main point that it's hardly even worth mentioning. All we need to do right now is look at ourselves personally. What am I doing on the Lord's day? And we do that in light of what we read in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58 just gets at the heart of it when it says, don't do your own pleasure, but do the Lord's work on the Sabbath day. Ask yourself, why am I doing what I am doing on the Lord's day? Is it because that's what I want to do? Or am I doing what God says to do? Look at your own heart. Look at the pleasure of your own heart and what you seek to do on this Sabbath day. And when you look there, that will flow into fixing bad habits that are leading us down the wrong path and that are sinful, and striving to keep this day holy, set apart from the other 6 days. The Catechism is very helpful in this regard because it really gets to the heart of the practice of observing the Sabbath day. It does so by saying, especially on the Sabbath, that day of rest, diligently frequent the house or the church of God. And then everything that follows after that is what takes place in the church of God. To hear His Word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor. It says at the very beginning, the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained. Always an interesting phrase in connection with the fourth commandment. Very simply speaking of the schools and the seminaries, making sure that men are being trained for the ministry of the gospel so that what we read in the second part can take place. So that we as a people can diligently frequent God's house and hear His Word proclaimed. How do we observe the Lord's Day? How do we keep it holy? We can be so thankful that we have the church. And that's what the Catechism says. Come to church. Diligently. Very important adverb there. Diligently frequent the house of God. You can search the Scriptures high and low, and it will never say, come to church two times. Of course not. But look at the principle of it. Diligently frequent God's house. We've been given two services. We've been given the ability, enough hours in the day, enough energy in the day, to come to church twice. Let's take advantage of it. Because the Catechism is on to the main point here, which is this is the best way to observe the Lord's Day. Why? Because some may say to that, the best way? There's all sorts of other things that we can do to observe the Lord's Day. And you're correct, there is. We're here for how many hours a day? 4 hours a day by the time you get here, by the time you leave? 5 hours including driving to and from church? Well, that's only 5 hours of Sunday. What are we doing with the rest of the day? There are other things that we must do on the Sabbath day, of course. But the best way here in God's house? And the answer to that is yes. And it all goes back to everything we said in the first point. What is the Sabbath day all about? It's about us as weary sinners finding rest in God in the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. And what happens when we come together in the house of God? We come together, as it says, to hear His Word. Every service we hear the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, you have a Savior. And you have a Savior who took away all of your sins on the cross of Calvary. And that you will not go to hell one day because of those sins. You have peace. You have joy, you have delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. To use the sacraments. Next week, Sunday morning, we have the privilege of partaking of communion. And every time we have a baptism, what do we in a visible way experience? The rest in Jesus Christ. You have a Savior. Basically, in the sacraments, Christ is saying to us, come unto me. All ye that labor and are weary because of your sin, and I as your Savior give you rest. We publicly call upon the Lord. We come together. And at least once in an extended way in our congregational prayer, we go to God. And what are we going to God for? We're going to God to praise Him. For this rest we have in Christ, we go to God and ask petitions in order that we may grow daily and through this worship service in our union with the Lord Jesus Christ and our enjoyment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we contribute to the relief of the poor. We give of our offerings, all as a simple expression of our thanks for the rest we have in Christ. Beloved, this is the heart of it. It's here in God's house that we experience in a small way that foretaste of the eternal Sabbath, of knowing that we have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is 5 hours of the day, or however many. Beyond that, you examine your own heart and you say to yourself, in light of that main principle that we laid out this morning, how am I and how is my family to observe this day. And you seek the best way possible to enjoy what God has done for us, to put aside our work and focus on the things of God. Beloved, the great blessing of that is that we will grow in our spiritual lives and we will be strengthened and that God will be glorified. We mentioned in the first point about how this has application every day of our lives. Well, when we take the Sabbath day and don't use it for our own pleasure, but use it as God calls us to use it, then we're strengthened spiritually. Then we're ready to go forward in the week to come. Not focused entirely on the things of this earth, but focused on God so that every single day of the week we enjoy this Sabbath rest. And then by the end of the week, when we become weary, we do it all again. So that all of our life long, we find joy and delight in the rest of the gospel. All pointing very simply to that one day when we will be with our Savior face to face and be able to praise and give thanks to Him for everything that He has done for us, especially on that cross. Let us as a congregation remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen.